comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Wherever you happen to be all around this solar system, thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on Earth. A place where you actually matter. And that's a fact. You've heard me say on this show before that in the final analysis, the only thing that does matter on this planet are people. I have said that many, many times. And that's one of the statements I've made that I don't think I've ever gotten any email contradicting what I said. The only thing that actually really matters, if you happen to be a person, if you happen to be a human, is other people. And last night I reported to you on this show about the devastating earthquake in Haiti that took place yesterday afternoon. And today the images and videos have been pouring in. The news stations have been playing them, and it's just undescribable. The devastation. There are tens of thousands of people who were killed in the earthquake, and tens of thousands more who need medical care, emergency medical attention. The hospital, of course, collapsed, and they're just overwhelmed. They wouldn't have had enough doctors anyway, but with the hospital collapse, they're having to, you know, sort of do makeshift clinics. And they just don't have enough doctors. There are people who are waiting to be seen by a doctor who are dying because of the many hours they have to wait. The needs are tremendous. The needs for food, water, shelter, and for medical care, for medical personnel to get there and do something. Now, some of those people who are so desperately in need of emergency medical care, some of them are Christians. Some of them most likely are Muslim. Some of them are pagans. Some are animists. Some may be even atheists. Now, why do I bring that up? Because I hope to God that this time all of the humanitarian organizations, and we have people listening to this show who are part of humanitarian organizations that will be going to Haiti to render aid. I hope this time you people will not do what you did in Kosovo. In Kosovo, 100% of the humanitarian aid, 100% of the humanitarian groups that came to Kosovo came to help only the Albanians, and not one crumb of bread for the Serbs. That's criminal. This time, let's help everyone who needs help. I'll be back right after this. Back in 1997, in Phoenix, Arizona was an amazing event. Unplanned, unscripted. It came to be known as the Phoenix Lights. When the Phoenix Lights incident happened, Frances Emma Barwood was a member of the city council in Phoenix. While the other politicians exhibited their usual spinelessness and ran for the shadows, Frances Barwood represented the people who elected her and asked, "Who is investigating this incident?" She was subjected to unbelievable ridicule by the lame-brained, lame-stream media. She was targeted politically. There were even attempts on her life. The opposition that Frances Barwood encountered in trying to get to the bottom of the Phoenix Lights demonstrated that those of the opposition had a raging disregard for the Constitution of the United States of America and a complete disdain for the constitutional rights of the people who, by the way, own the country and employ the politicians. But Frances Emma Barwood believed in the Constitution and in the right of the people to know. She did not back down, and she is still standing, while most of that opposition has ended up in the dustbin of history. She's been with us before. It's my pleasure to welcome her back to the show. Frances, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Well, I cannot hear Frances. She was there. Believe me, folks, she was there. And the phone line shows that she still is there. So, Frances, if you can hear me, we will hang up and call you back. I'm not surprised because we've had that kind of thing happen to us before. When Frances was with us before. So her line is still busy. Well, live radio is fun, isn't it? She was on the line. So let's try it again and see if we can get her. And whenever we have someone of her caliber on, that's what we run into. You may remember the Phoenix Lights incident. It's very, very famous. And you may remember that there was one lone city council person who stood up and said, "Now, wait a minute. People want to know what's going on." Well, that was Frances Barwood. And Frances Barwood actually, and last time she was here, she... told us about whenever she had her car shot at, and it was really a pretty sticky mess. Well, apparently somebody doesn't want us to talk with Frances. I called her earlier today and had no problem getting through. I called her and put her online here for the show, and we had no problem. But you can probably hear the phone ringing in the background. Frances, are you with us? Okay. We hear you just fine. I don't know what happened.
I cannot believe this.
Well, I can.
Can you hear me? I can't hear anything.
Okay, let's see. Can you hear me? Okay. We're going to boost this as high as it will possibly go. Can you hear me, Frances? It won't go any higher than that, folks. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to do the old method. Okay, Frances, are you still there?
I'm here.
Okay, well, what we're going to do is we're going to have to go to a piece of music, and then we'll come back And Frances, stay on the line with me. We're going to do an old method to get her on the air. Somebody doesn't want Frances on the show tonight, okay? But let's just go to a little music. We'll be back. We are back, and I hope that Frances can hear me now. Frances, can you hear me? Folks, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know. Frances, are you there? All right. Let's try this. Are you there, Frances? Folks, I haven't had a disaster like this, and I don't know when. But it's because, you know why. It's because we're trying to talk with Frances Barwood. Now, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We are going to go to music. I'm going to a completely different telephone system that's not part of the broadcast system. You couldn't hear, but what Frances said was that, are you there, Frances?
I am. I'm going to try it on my mobile. How's that?
Okay, well, that's better. I was about to tell them what you told me when I went to music so that, I could get you back on the phone, and I got you back on the phone, and you were telling me what it sounded like to you. What did it sound like? Tell the people what it sounded like.
It sounded like there were several people picking up extensions, and it wasn't here, so I assumed it was on your end.
No, there's no one in the studio but me. So that's what was happening. Well, like I say, I haven't had a disaster on air like that in a long time. But every time we have you, if you think back, we always have some kind of technical issue that comes up with the phones. And you're not the only one. There are a couple of others that each time I have them on the air, we encounter some kind of weird stuff with the phones. Okay. Now, I think that serves to prove the verity, the truth of what I said about the fact that you have received a tremendous amount of opposition since you stood up and said, hey, hang on a minute, who's investigating the Phoenix Lights incident? Who's going to investigate this? Who's getting to the bottom of it? And you started getting a lot of opposition then. And that opposition continues, I suppose, right up till this show tonight, because you were hearing people pick up extension phones, and there are no extension phones here.
Yeah, and it doesn't surprise me, really. It's but while I did have a lot of opposition, it was mostly, well, it was 100% were government employees, but a lot of support too from the people who saw whatever it was. They needed somebody to ask the questions for them.
Francis, one of the things about the Phoenix Lights that I found to be really interesting, more lately I found this even more interesting, is that some of the witnesses said that what they saw was as this, whatever it was, this object that flew over, well, it flew over Phoenix, but it really, it flew over almost the entire state. They said as they looked up, they could, it looked like heat, you know, like the wavering, shimmering waves of heat coming up off of a roadway, and they could see through it. They it wasn't that it was transparent, but they could still see starlight barely through this object. And we just had Christine Dickey on the show. She is the state director for MUFON and for Arizona, and she told us about a incident out in Nevada. And out in Nevada, the witnesses, a couple of teenagers, the witnesses said that that's what this thing that they saw looked like. As they looked up in, they said it was about 20 feet above them, and they looked up and they could see it, through it, you know. It was kind of a shimmering, had a shimmering quality to it, but they could see through it. Do you still have people getting in touch with you and talking to you about what they saw the night of the Phoenix Lights?
It has been very interesting because, as you know, I don't live in Phoenix anymore. I live up in Crescent Valley. And I do get stopped occasionally by people who say, "Are you Francis Farwood?" And others go on to check out, you know, how they always say your name when they're saying goodbye. They look at. And I've had a lot of people over these last few years that say, "Are you that Barwood?"
Are you that Barwood? Oh, mercy. Are you that Barwood? Well, Francis, during that period of time, you encountered a tremendous amount of opposition. A lot of water's gone under the bridge. A lot of those opposition people have gone by the wayside as well. And things are a little different now. Things, the atmosphere around UFOs, around the topic, is a little different now than it was then. I think maybe a little better than it was. Not a great deal, but a little bit. And as an example, there's a guy out in Denver who, his name is Peckman, and Mr. Peckman has been able to get on the ballot out in Denver in the upcoming election, a proposition. If it passes, then Denver will be creating a panel, a council, or a committee for the purpose of investigating UFO information and disseminating that information to people, to the public. Now, that would have been unheard of back at the time of the Phoenix Lights, wouldn't it?
But you realize it's almost grown up a little bit. And hopefully their minds are a little more open. You know, I always revert back to the original text of the Bible where it says, "In my Father's..." the translation is, "In my Father's house there are many mansions." But in the original text, it says, "In my Father's cosmos," which means universe, "there are many worlds." And so what makes us think we're the only one?
Yeah. Now, I have a question for you. Can you hear me okay? No, she can't. Okay. I tried to put you back on the broadcast equipment. We could hear you perfectly, but you can't hear me, and who knows why. Okay. Now, Francis, I don't know quite how to put this. You really paid. Well, you paid a real price for just standing up and asking the question. And you were not at that point like a UFO crusader. You were an elected official, and you were doing what you were elected to do. But that meant you had to ask a question no one in government wanted to hear. And that question was, who's looking into this incident? Who is looking into the Phoenix Lights? And nobody in government wanted to hear that. In fact, you were told the mayor doesn't want anybody asking that or talking about that. All right, now, you were even shot at during this period of time. And your life was threatened. You were ridiculed. You were lamestream media just ridiculed you. Okay, and that would be Francis coming back in, right?
Would be.
And you got.
I don't know what is going on here, but this is my cell phone, and I'm having strange noises and other voices coming through.
Yeah, well, I'm not surprised. But you had all of that opposition. You had all of that trouble. You're having that tonight. It's happening to you tonight. So let me ask you a question. Do you think that this government that we are living under right now respects our Constitution and our constitutional rights? When we start asking questions about UFOs, do they respect the Constitution and our rights any better than you experienced back in 1997? But now a break is taking over, so what we're going to have to do is step away for this break, and we will be back, and I'll let you answer that question when we come back. All right, folks, don't go away. Kevin Smith Show comes from the great independent artists at GarageBand.com. Go to GarageBand.com and check out the fabulous select of great independent music by great independent artists. GarageBand.com. Check it out.
Patience, man. Trials and tribulations. Get
welcome back. We are attempting to talk with Frances Barwood this evening, and she is still hearing, it sounds like, people picking up extension phones and voices talking and so forth. We're not hearing that, Frances, but you're still hearing it, right?
Now it's clear.
Now it's clear. Okay.
It's better.
Okay. Now, just so you folks will understand what we've done, is taken her completely off the broadcast system. Okay? She's on a speakerphone, and I have a microphone hanging over the speakerphone. It's a very, very non-high-tech way to do this. But if I run if I do that conversation through our phone systems and through our broadcast equipment, we can hear her, but she can't hear us. And she hears all those people picking up extension phones. Okay, we can play the game. Frances, I asked the question before we went to break. You encountered all this opposition from the government. And I contend that they showed raging disregard for the Constitution and for your constitutional rights and the rights of all citizens in what they did. And certainly the media exhibited their usual lame brain ridicule. But now, do you think if this were to happen now, if it happens again and somebody on the city council says, hang on, who's investigating this? Do you think that this government would have such a heavy-handed disregard for the Constitution and for the rights of the people, or do you think it would be different now?
I think it would probably be very similar. And the reason I say that is because they're still not, it will never come from the government. The truth will never come out from the government. I think that a lot of people get threatened, and I was an example. It's like, we'll do to you what we did to Barwood. People don't, you know, they are afraid. They are really afraid. They're afraid of, you know, what's the end result? What are they going to do to them? How are they going to destroy them? If I had it to do all over again, I probably would have been more forceful than I was. I just wasn't prepared as well, and I was kind of disappointed that I didn't push harder.
Well, you know, that's very interesting to hear from you, because I think the opinion of the public is that you're like a shining star. You stood and stood your ground, and I think from the public point of view, you know, you're pretty much of a hero in this.
Well, I didn't get the final answer, so I don't consider the investigation complete. And I truly wish that somebody, and maybe it will be somebody within the government, will just have to let the truth out and let the chips fall where they may.
Well, Frances, part of the process of trying to get the truth out, part of the process you went through, involved an attorney that was filing Freedom of Information request. Am I correct? Okay, now, when no answers came back, I believe you suggested that this attorney should file Freedom of Information request, or we call them FOIAs, Freedom of Information request, to NORAD, and ask them, did they have any information, and what was his response? What was his response to that? Well, I don't know if we've lost her again Are you still there? Well, I guess not. It's going to be an interesting night. But folks, I've told you so many times, when we're getting hit like this, and actually it's not us, it's not our phones. Apparently it's her phone. But when we get hit like this, it's just as if these people took a big yellow highlighter pen and put it all up over the what the person is saying. And, you know, they're saying, pay attention to this. Because, you know, it has the exact opposite effect of what they intend. Okay, Francis, are you back with us?
I sure am. That was really strange. I suddenly got playing.
Well, I don't know what's happened. Okay, we were talking about the Freedom of Information request that you said to the lawyer, okay, all these others are saying they don't have any information, so why don't you file a Freedom of Information request with NORAD? What did he say?
Could not do it. And what I wanted him to do was, since he was doing this Freedom of Information Act stuff, is find out, just ask them particularly this: what flew over Arizona that night between those hours and was from the north central down to the south central, and that's all. And the worst they could do is say, well, that's national security. Well, if it's national security, then they would be admitting that there was something there.
Yeah.
So NORAD takes pictures and graphs and radar of everything that's in the sky at every time, at any place in the entire world. Certainly, they would have that night on record.
Okay, so the lawyer just refused to file the Freedom of Information request. Did you ask him why?
He actually would not say why. He just said no, and then the last I knew, he had moved out of the central Phoenix area, and last I heard, he was in some small town in northeast Arizona. I don't know where he is now.
Mm-hmm. So he never gave you a reason why he wouldn't file that request. He just wouldn't address the issue.
In my gut feeling is that he knew if he would do that, he'd be playing with the big guns, and he was really fearful of what the repercussions would be.
Okay, did that surprise you at all? From this attorney particularly, did it surprise you that he took this decision to refuse to file those requests? Can you hear me, Francis?
I can hear you. Listen, I have another number if you want to call me back.
Well, we're live on the air, so we'll trudge on. Did it surprise you at all that this attorney took that decision to not file Freedom of Information with NORAD?
Well, at first it did, and then after I thought about it, I realized that I felt, and I can't say for sure, but I felt that he knew what he was doing was fruitless anyway, and so therefore safe. And to go further than that would not have been safe.
Okay, so do you think that this lawyer was sort of a spoiler? He's in there kind of pretending to represent the group, but in fact, his purpose was to keep you from getting to the information, do you think?
Several said that they felt that he was fearful, and I don't know if that's true. That's what I was told. Kind of made sense, but I don't know. I don't know what his motivation was to start with. I was hoping that he was really intent on finding out exactly what went on. And he didn't. He just fizzled out.
just fizzled out. Well, of course, that is unfortunate, and I can't say that I'm surprised. But I mean, you never had any actual, as far as you know, you didn't have any proof that he was like a government plant in the group. Am I right? Well, this is going to be a tough show, folks. This is going to be tough. Someone does not want Francis to talk, and you could hear in the background that I boosted the audio. I boosted it as high as we could boost it because her phone line is simply, it's declining. The input coming from her phone line is just draining away. Francis, are you still on the phone? No, she can't hear me. I'm going to press forward. I mean, we're going to have to work at this, but I'm going to press forward because this proves that this lady has something to say that they, whoever they may be, do not wish for you to hear. Okay? And I don't know why they don't want you to hear it, but they don't want you to hear it. And but we're going to press forward and make sure that you get to hear as much of this as possible. So, Francis, the question, I'm going to have to adjust some audio here. The question that I have is, did you ever see any documentation, anything that proved to you that this lawyer was a government plant? Well, I'm glad you folks are getting to hear this. Francis, are you with us again?
I am with you again.
Okay, I'm doing some things here to try and boost your audio so that we can hear you. And folks, you have to just pull teeth with me on this because, you know, someone is interfering with Francis' phone. And they don't want you to hear this. And I'll tell you, I know what it is they don't want you to hear, and it's coming up. We're going to get it out. Francis, did you ever have any indication, any documentation that this lawyer was a government plant?
I never had that information, but I had two people that knew him really well and that I knew really well tell me that that's what they felt.
Okay, so they knew him well and they thought he was a government plant.
Yes.
Okay.
You actually know these people. I won't tell you on the air.
Okay. Well, we have a break coming up, and during this break, we'll try to get something more worked out here with the telephones. It's not our phones. She's being hit, and we're going to deal with it. We'll be back right after this. Fun. It is much fun trying to figure out a way around these guys. I noticed I had left the mic open, so you heard me calling on other numbers, trying to get Francis on other numbers. But we're going to give it a shot anyway. Francis is with us, and we are going to give it a shot and see if we can carry on. Francis, what you have to tell us tonight has to be very important for someone to go to these lengths to keep you from being able to say it.
Well, and that's a good possibility.
Yeah, it is a possibility, a very real possibility. You know, whatever telephone number you've used, somebody has interfered with you. And it's somebody doesn't want you to say what we're going to say here tonight. And here it is. During all of that time, when you were trying to get to the bottom of what happened over Phoenix, there was a guy who was looking at something else that was happening over Phoenix. This is a man who was looking at the chemtrails, and we still have those. And I have people try to tell me all the time, oh, well, now, you know, it's hard to tell the difference between a chemtrail and a contrail. Nonsense. They are easily distinguishable. And but this guy was investigating chemtrails, and he was sending you emails about them. And I think most of my audience will not know this story, what happened. So could you tell us the story about this man?
Okay. After the Phoenix Lights publicity and all, this man started calling my office and sending me faxes and telling me, and emails, and telling me that there was something really strange going on in the sky. I have to tell you, he was quite elderly. He was in his 80s, and him and his buddy, who was also in the 80s, were veterans. And he said, you know, he called up one day and said, go look out your window and see what's in the sky. And so my staff said, you got to come see this. And we looked out, and it was this big X right over Phoenix, but it was not contrails. It was very different. And so I thought, you know, this is very strange. Well, this man, and I won't mention his name, what happened was he decided, him and his buddy, decided to follow the planes as each time they were doing these very strange designs in the sky. Sometimes they were grid patterns that would slowly lower to the ground. And sometimes they were X's, and they would slowly lower to the ground. And as you know, contrails don't do that. They dissipate because it's water vapor.
Yeah.
And so they decided to go and follow these planes as they left the area. And they did, and they went way out to the western part of Arizona and followed them and went off into, mind you, they had a Jeep, so they went off into the brush and back into where there was nothing, and they found an airfield where there were many white planes with pipes coming out and no numbers on them. And he took pictures, him and his friend took a bunch of pictures, and he put it on a website. And he came and talked to a group that I belonged to at the time, and which was just a very, it wasn't a UFO group, it was actually a group of people who were concerned that our government was violating the Constitution. And he talked about this, and he showed the pictures, and he told them, you know, it was on his website. And then he got very scared because of some instances that had happened to him, and he packed up everything and moved to, I believe it is in Colorado, and I don't want to mention the town, but he moved there. I told you the town.
Yeah.
But he moved there and got a little cabin and lived literally in the middle of nowhere. And he had, I think, three or four neighbors, and they all knew him, and they all liked him. He was a very, very likable man. And they said he was very nervous, and he kept telling them if anything happened to him, to call these two numbers. One was my number, and one was another friend of his number. And they said one day a car pulled up and two men got out dressed in suits and overcoats and went into his house and then came out later. And the next day they didn't see, I almost said his name, they didn't see him. So they went in to check and he was dead. So the first thing, they called me and the first thing I did was go to his website and it was gone. And I wish that I would have printed it out because the pictures were so telling. It was a field in the middle of nowhere. It was barbed wire all around. When they went up to the fence and they were taking these pictures, armed guards came out and told them, you know, get out of here, what are you doing? And they said, oh, we're just prospecting. I mean, they were old. And they said, we're just out here prospecting. Sorry, we didn't mean to disturb anything. And that's when they left. But they already had their pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things. And I know where his friend is. And he will always be afraid.
Now, the man that you're telling us about, the man who died, did they say... Did the people tell you what he died of? I mean, was he shot? Was he? Did he appear to have had a heart attack or what?
He said he just looked really scared, and he was dead. And his friend has moved 3 times since then, and I know where he is, and I keep in contact with him. But he's 88 now, so, you know, he figures, what are they going to do to him now?
Does that sound like the America you thought you lived in?
No. And I'll tell you, as time goes on, I start to think that the government we see is not the one that runs everything. It's the government we don't see.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's a pretty amazing statement to hear from a politician.
I never considered myself a politician.
Yeah, but you were. You were an elected official. You ran for office. You got elected, and in that capacity, you got caught up in all of this because you did what you were elected to do, and you represented the people that elected you, and. So it was, you know, I know you think of yourself as just a citizen, but as a citizen, you held political office, and that makes you a real insider on this stuff, as far as, you know, the workings of the political machinery. And you're saying what so many, many people say. And that is that we have a shadow government that runs everything. We have to take a break. We'll be back. It seems like the phone lines may have settled down a little bit, and we'll continue right after this, so don't go away.
Phoenix, Arizona. This is the Kevin Smith Show.
And welcome back. Hopefully, we've got things sort of settled in here, at least for the time being, in terms of. Francis' telephone connection with us. I think everything is still working. So let me check. Francis, are you still with us?
I am here.
Okay. Very good. Okay. Now, I want to recap what you just said, and then we're going to try to open the telephone lines, folks. I'll explain to you how it'll have to work. But let's recap. Just after all the Phoenix Lights publicity, a man starts contacting you, a guy that lives in Phoenix. He's contacting you and telling you about chemtrails. And he's an elderly guy, and one of his friends in the same age bracket, they are able to find out where these planes are landing, and it's out in the middle of nowhere. And there's lots of nowhere in Arizona. Lots of desert. So it's out in the middle of nowhere. There's barbed wire all around it. And he gets pictures of the planes. He puts them on a website And then there are threats made against him. He gets afraid, and he packs up everything and leaves Arizona. Gives two of his friends, his neighbors, at his new location, two phone numbers, and says, if anything ever happens to me, call these numbers and tell these people. And you got a phone call. And the phone call said it was from one of the neighbors. And they said, well, you know, we saw two guys in suits go in the house, in this guy's house. And they came out, and the next day we didn't see him. Then we checked on him, and we found he was dead in the house. Is that accurate?
Yeah, and they said that his face looked scared.
His face looked scared.
He was scared.
Uh-huh.
And I almost said his name again. he was not the type to be... I mean, he was a veteran. He was through the wars and everything, and he was not the type to be easily scared. He left Phoenix because he was... They did something, said something, whatever. He was scared.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now... his friend that was with him when he took these pictures, that friend is still alive, and but he's moved three times because he is also scared. Is that right?
He was tremendously unnerved by it, but he's a great guy, and he's we still keep in contact.
All right. Well, see, this is the kind of thing, folks, you've heard me say, on the air, especially when we have interference like Francis has had tonight, you've heard me say that these people are Nazis. They are enemies of the Constitution. I don't care if they... I don't know that they're getting a government paycheck, but even if they are, they are enemies of the Constitution. That makes them enemies of freedom. That makes them enemies of you. And you've heard me say, these guys can get away with this only so long as the American people let them get away with it. Powerful people are only as powerful as the rest of us let them be. Sooner or later, they will get the Ceausescu treatment. And I would recommend that these people go read what happened to Ceausescu. He tried to get on a helicopter and leave, and the helicopter was forced down. This was Romania. The helicopter was forced down, and at the end of it all, his own people that he stomped on for years, for decades, shot him. Now, I'm not in any way... In no way am I in favor of violence. I'm simply saying you can push people for so long, you can step on their throats for so long, and then they fight back. And when America has had enough, it will be free. And I think we're getting close to that point, Francis.
Me too.
You think so too?
Absolutely. I hear it from all over. People are, I mean, and it's not just, it's getting rapidly worse, but it's been for several years growing. I would say it was a slow freight train going towards the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's rapidly going towards the cliff. And it's going to come a time where people are going to say, you know what? We're going to take back our country.
Yeah. Well, I think we may be hearing some of that across the country right now. Lots more than we have in recent years. Now, what I'm going to attempt to do, ladies and gentlemen, I am going to open the phone lines. I didn't open the phone lines last night, and I didn't open them on purpose. But I'm going to attempt to open the phone lines. When you call in, because of the things that I have done to try and get around the problems that Francis was having with the phones, I'm not sure that you're going to be able to hear me. because I'm going to have to talk to you on one system, Francis on another system, and broadcast on another system. All right, but we're going to try. If it doesn't work, then Francis and I will just continue to talk, and we'll enjoy the show. I so far, what we're doing is working in terms of keeping Francis online. But we'll give it a try. Now, the telephone number is 623-444-5889. The toll-free number is 888-223-4599. If you have a question or a comment that you would like to make and you live outside of the USA or you live outside of Canada, then you can send me a flash message if you want, okay? So you can use the phones or send a flash message. To send a flash message, you simply go to my website, which is kevinsmithshow.com. Scroll down, and you'll see the link that says flash message, all right? Now, for those of you who are in our chat room and just chatting away and having a good time, I'm glad you're doing that, but don't forget, it's a talk show, and you need to use a telephone, all right? 623-444-5889 or toll free at 888-223-4599. Francis, who do you think these two men were that went into the man's house that you told us about? Are they government agents or do they work for someone that is that considers themselves to be above the government?
Well, I would say they were probably from the government. As you remember back in the past when we talked about Richard Curtis, who was visited by two men in black, and he has literally disappeared. So I would say that there's something going on. The government knows what's going on. They just don't want us to know. With everybody with cameras and the internet and everything else, it's only a matter of time.
You know, it would be a little bit easier for me to swallow if these persons, these men in suits that are making people disappear, making people die, it would be a lot easier for me to swallow if they were not part of our government. If they were part of some organization that thinks themselves to be above and beyond the government. Because if they are government, then you do have the government becoming the enemy of the governed. And that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing at all.
It may be the quasi-government or the shadow government.
Who do you think they are?
Oh my goodness, you want my conspiracy theory?
Yeah, I'd like to know, I mean, because you've been in the heat of this. Caller, if you'll just hang on, we'll get to you in just a second. You've been in the middle of this. It's not a theory as far as your personal experiences. I mean, nobody shot at me, they shot at you.
True. I would say that and I don't know. I'm just, you know, my speculation is, you know, there's the Trilateral Commission and the I forget the name of the other one, the Bilderbergs, and, you know, these people who meet secretly.
Mm-hmm.
They know they're meeting, but it's still secret. They don't let outsiders in. And they literally plan what's going to happen in this world, and regardless of us. So I would not be surprised if it was all kind of mixed in with that.
All right, we're going to try and do this thing with a caller. I don't know if it's going to work, so let me just push a button. And caller, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Sounds fine to me. This is Ryan up in Washington.
Okay. Now, hang on, because I've got three different systems running in order to try and, and relay these phone messages. So, Ryan, just hang on. So let me ask Frances, could you hear Ryan?
I could.
Okay. She can hear you, and can you hear her?
Yeah, everything sounds fine, Don.
What a miracle. What a miracle. The days of miracles have not ceased. Okay, Ryan.
Kevin, and they lose.
I'm sorry?
You win again, and the people that are trying to interfere with you are losers again, and
yeah.
You win.
Yeah, but I got to tell you, I had never dreamed you could hook things up like this. It's unbelievable what we got going here tonight. Okay, Ryan, what's your question or comment?
Well, you know, it's been said that it's been known that a lot of people that come out and sort of whistleblow, a lot of them could probably be saving their lives by doing that. In fact, that's one of the reasons why Bob Lazar came out on the because he was scared about his life being threatened, and so what he did was at first they had him on TV with blacked out, but then you know, he decided to make himself publicly known, because you're basically, the more public you are, the basically I think the safer you are, and so that's what I'm wondering about. I'm kind of wishing more of these people would come out and be more public, because then, you know, it might protect them, because if somebody tries to shoot at them or something, then it would basically be highlighting it with a highlight pen, just like they do on the Kevin Smith Show, that everything he's saying is true. What do you think about that?
What do you think, Francis? Are you safer by going public?
Well, I've pretty much told everything that I know, I guess, almost everything, but I guess, you know, they have a way of being very indirect, and I'll tell you one instance. I had gotten a threatening letter, and it came from a group that was angry about something else.
Mm-hmm.
What they said was, we know where your daughter lives in Tempe. And we know her name, and they did. And they wanted me to shut up. Well, what I ended up doing was I called up my daughter, and I said, you've got to move now. And she did, and didn't have her name on anything. I felt really bad about that, because it interfered in her life. That's how they operate.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Ryan, I want to thank you for the call. I thank you for being the...
One more question before I go, and
sure.
Then I'll hang up.
Sure.
Oh, I just wanted to ask, I know that you're good friends with Fife Cemetery. I know that you're good friends with him, and you know him pretty well. I'd like to ask you, before this happened, he was, isn't he good friends with Bill Clinton? And I just wanted to, I was curious about, do you think he's going to be coming out more in the future? And I'll just take it off the air. Thank you.
Hey, Fife Symington, we were very good friends with him and Ann until after that infamous press conference that he had, and then he wouldn't talk to me after that, and I think it was part of it was his own embarrassment. But let me backstep a little bit. Fife Symington, when he was in college, saved Bill Clinton's life. He was drowning in a lake, and he pulled him out. So they became friends, and... now you have to realize that Fife Symington was under indictment on trumped up charges because he bucked the federal government at the time that he said he was going to get, you know, to the bottom of this and have all this information come out and do an investigation. And then he was back in court when he went back after that noon interview with a kind of off-the-cuff interview. When he went back in court, the people that were there said he was pulled into the judge's chambers and he was there all afternoon. So there's no way that he could have planned this so-called emergency press conference. And what happened was he came out, everything was set up, and he went through the motions of what they told him to do. Now, I know Fife well enough to know he does not have a sense of humor. This was not his planning. Actually, he has no sense of humor, and he can't even pull off a joke. So what this was I feel, and I don't know, this is, again, my speculation, I think they offered him a deal, and they said, you know, we'll put you in prison for beaucoup years if you don't do this and make this a joke. And that's, I feel that's why he did it. And, I mean, he had six kids. He's not going to think about, and I wouldn't have thought twice about, well, gee, on one hand, I go to prison for maybe 10, 15 years. On the other hand, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's over.
All right. Okay, let's go back to the phone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Kevin. You know, once I finally get on the air, I'm afraid I don't know if I'm going to be able to handle all these problems. My goodness.
You will, and you'll do just fine. If you don't handle them, they win.
That's true. That's the way it goes. You know, your persistence. You know, it's just like what many of the truth speakers are doing out there. Despite the fact that laws have been passed that pretty much have eliminated our constitutions. Like we have a constitution here in Canada. We've got a Charter of Rights also, and you know, legislation has been passed over the years that where laws on a piece of paper state, well, your rights are no longer valid when we the people are standing our ground and saying, you know what, we have our rights, whether you politicians say it or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think, you know, the Constitution, you know, it can enforce itself. You know, just because it's on a law on a piece of paper doesn't mean nothing if nobody is there to enforce it. And it's us people that are trying to speak the truth and stand our ground. Like ones like Francis, ones like you, Kevin, that are persisting, and the ones that keep telling it like it is, regardless of who makes fun of us, regardless of who disagrees with us and who tries to stop us. We got to stand our ground, and that's the only way to bring down the system is to be non-compliant towards it.
I'm not interested in bringing down the system. I'm not interested in reforming the system. I'm interested in enforcing the system that's in our Constitution.
Well, that's what I mean, too.
And everybody else needs to go to prison.
What do you think, Francis? Do you think Max Egan's idea of global noncompliance would be a good idea to finally get some truth out there? Finally stop the lying? To finally, you know...
Didn't hear all that.
Do you think Max Egan's idea of global noncompliance would be the way to go in order to force them to get UFO and extraterrestrial information out into the public?
I don't think they give a hoot if, you know, they're going to keep doing and stomping down and having any reason that they can to enforce their law, the martial law, which scares me to death. I think what's gonna happen is people, by continuing to investigate and maybe even running for office themselves, I'm getting too old for that, so I'm not gonna do that anymore, but young people who really want to know what's going on, these are the ones that are gonna have to take the challenge and get out there and say, I'm gonna run for office, and in office I wanna know what's going on, because then they have the right to ask.
I don't know that we have enough time for that all to happen. I think that the current hijacking of... And by the way, we talk about our government being hijacked. I mentioned it on this show. It's in relation primarily to the, I mean, you see it clearly once you start talking about UFOs. You see it very clearly at that point. It exposes, they just become naked at that point, and you can see what they really think about the Constitution. And so that's why we talk about that. But I think that this hijacking of our government and dissolution of the Constitution, I think it has just about run its course. I think it's about, as you mentioned, a train moving towards the edge of a cliff. I think it's about there, and I think they're just about to collapse. The hijackers are just about to be ousted from the airplane.
I sure hope so.
I think that's, I mean, you look at the mood of the country. Anybody who thinks, anybody in government who thinks that that we're not sitting on a boiling pot that's about to explode, those are people that have been smoking left-handed cigarettes. It is about to explode on many, many issues. But on the issue of UFOs and extraterrestrials, they're just naked. They have no cover, and they're just naked on this. Okay, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller.
Hello, Kevin. This is Brent from Wyoming.
Brent, can you hang on? We've got to go to break here in about 20 seconds or so. Can you hang on through
sure,
the break?
I'll wait.
Okay.
I'll hang on.
All right. You know, the UFO thing blows the lid right off of all their covers. Ryan, who called in earlier, Ryan called C-SPAN one morning to talk to Robert Gates, who is the president's press secretary, and ask him point blank, you people say you're in favor of openness and transparency, so okay, when are you going to come clean about UFOs? He choked almost. All right, we'll be back right after this. Here we are in the war room at the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Frances Emma Barwood, and we have a caller, Frances, who's been patiently holding, so let's go straight to the telephone. And Brent, you're on the air.
Kevin, I'm going to make this quick because I'm not on the 800 number, but I'll just make my comment and ask her to ask for your comments.
Okay.
Or your thoughts on it. I was talking to a friend New Year's Eve, and I told him that I was of the opinion that I would be surprised if we are not in a civil war within the next 2 or 3 years, and I'm of the opinion that if this civil war does take place, the first target will be the United Nations. I'll hang up and take it off the air.
That's ominous. I'll give you my answer. I don't think we'll be in a civil war within the next couple of years. I don't think we'll be in a civil war. I think there will be something akin... But let me change that. I think there very well could be something akin to what happened in Yugoslavia, where the people marched on the capital and took down the government almost peacefully. There were a few skirmishes with the police, but then the police just threw their hands up and said, there's too many of these people. We cannot do this. And they would not shoot their own people. And, you know, there were just way too many people marching on the Capitol. And as a result, Slobodan Milosevic was president when he got up that morning and not when he went to bed that night. Frances, what do you think about it?
I agree, and I think it's going to be more a revolution than a civil war.
Well, there are so many issues. I mean, and they are issues that we don't talk about on the show because it's not a political show, except where politics touches our genre. Then we'll talk about the issues as they touch our genre of UFOs and paranormal. But there's so many issues. I mean, there's socializing one-third of the American economy. There's absolute refusal by the U.S. government to control the borders. Just absolute refusal to do it. And, you know, there's the unemployment. We could just probably sit here for the next 3 hours and list the issues over which people are angry with Washington. Not upset, I mean furious with Washington. But where it touches this show is we see the people who try to get the information out being harassed. We see people disappearing. And it's not just Washington, D.C. In Calistoga, California, you have a mayor who sits in a restaurant. A total stranger walks up to him and says he's passing through town. And by the way, I just want to ask you about Ed Grimsley. Ed Grimsley is the guy who has brought forward the information about being able to see UFOs almost every night if you use really high-grade night vision goggles. And so the stranger asks the mayor about Ed Grimsley, and the mayor ridicules Ed Grimsley and says things that are absolutely of no relevance whatsoever to the question about his UFO sky watching and so forth, and says things that no elected official should say about any of his constituents. I've sent him an email asking him to respond, and he won't even acknowledge that he got the email. He is a classic spineless duck and cover politician. And that kind of stuff goes on all over this country. And the people that are going to be the first to go down when the uprising of the people does happen, and I'm not promoting it, I'm just watching it. But when it finally reaches that trigger point where people decide that, okay, by George, we will take back our government, and you know, this official is down, that one's down, and that one's down. They go in and occupy the offices. One morning, Mayor Jack will be the mayor, and that night he won't be. People are just not going to put up with politicians riding roughshod over them much longer. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is Stefan from Quebec City.
Hi, Stefan.
Ms. Barwood, I was wondering, I have two questions for you. The first one is, have any of the people that were on the council with you when you were in office, have they secretly come forth and started supporting you? And also, how committed are you to this? It seems like you're doing quite a few interviews now, and has this become almost like your next calling?
Well, my fellow council members, I'll give you an instance of something that happened. I was sitting in my office and talking to a co-councilman, and the phone rang, and it was a reporter who wanted to talk to me about the Phoenix Lights. And I said to him, why don't you stay and, you know, also talk to this reporter? And he got up, and he turned around, and he goes, I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole, and he walked out of my office.
Spineless.
Fearful. And I think that's what's happening is, you know, they make an example here and there. You know, look at Stephen Schiff, look at Sonny Bono. I mean, they were all looking into things that were going on with Roswell, and they're dead. it doesn't take too long to get a message out there to others. You know, you just don't ask these questions, and the same thing will happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they get very fearful. I have seen people that I thought I knew really well just totally back off, and I mean, like I had the plague that they didn't want to be seen with me because they didn't want the Phoenix Lights associated with them.
Yeah, fear is a very useful tool, but only once. It's not a good tool, but it's very productive, but only for a short period of time. Because when you scare someone, it takes more to scare them next time, and then it takes more, and then it takes more. And a good example is the Stasi in East Germany. There was no organization of secret police on the planet more feared than the Stasi. But by George, when the East German people had enough, it was enough. And the Berlin Wall came down and the Stasi were put out of business. And they did it from within. You can scare people, you can intimidate people, only for so long. And even a chihuahua will bite you if you scare him long enough.
That's true. And the sad thing is people forget what our forefathers went through to get us our freedoms.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. You know, the way all of this Fourth Reich mentality affects the UFO subject, from my perspective, my point of view, is that it actually comes from the whole UFO secrecy thing. The whole apparatus of the Fourth Reich mentality comes from this apparatus that started lying and keeping secrets about UFOs. Now, a real good example, back in 1957, in February of 1957, a UFO flew over Tucson. And it was pretty big. And there was a pilot that was about to land at Davis Monthan, and they told him, go intercept this blip in the sky. Let's see what this is. And he tried to do that, but he couldn't catch up with it. It was traveling at an immense speed. Okay, the next day, the Tucson newspaper ran a front page story about it. They put the pilot's picture on the front page. They put the pilot's name on the front page. They interviewed the air traffic controller that had ordered him to intercept it at Davis Monthan Air Base. All of that was in the newspaper. There was no big secrecy about it. No big deal about it. And I've seen the newspaper. I've seen a copy of that. So it absolutely happened. But now, the whole secrecy apparatus is monolithic. And I made the statement on the show that you could land, a UFO could land at the front gate of Davis Monthan and they would deny that it was sitting there.
Probably true.
Yeah. And you know, you could have a crowd of people gathered around outside, you know, taking pictures of it. And the spokesperson for the Air Force would say, we don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And you know, that's why I say that this Fourth Reich mentality that has gripped the nation and much of the world emanates from the whole UFO secrecy thing. And if you can crack the secrecy on UFOs and get them to be honest about it, I think it would have ripple effects in favor of freedom in many, many areas of our lives. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Mark from New York.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, how are you doing tonight?
Good.
Great show.
Thanks.
Listen, I just wanted to make a comment. In the context of this discussion, putting things in perspective, this craft was a mile long by a half mile wide, I'm told.
That's one estimate of it, yeah. One estimate has it 2 miles from wingtip to wingtip.
Yeah, that's just an incredible size. My point is that I don't think the government cares that the society is about to blow up or explode, you know, with the actions that they take, against people who are seeking information like yourself and myself and others. And I think that the ones that have the information, they have the answers. They clearly have the answers to what's going on here.
Mark, are you willing to hang on through this break? I'd like to hear the rest of what you've got to say.
Sure would.
All right. Hang on, and folks, we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are on final approach. That means we have a few minutes left. On the telephone with us is Mark, and Mark is from New York. And Mark, you were saying you don't think they really care about the social boiling point that they're creating, and then we had to go to break. So pick up there and move forward, sir.
Well, they, meaning, the term was brought up earlier in the conversation, the Bilderbergs, meaning, the ones with the most wealth. Obviously, the answers are out there.
Mm-hmm.
With regard to the questions that your show and the rest of us in the world have with regard to technology and extraterrestrials and so on and so forth. Those answers exist. That information is not being disseminated.
Sure.
Into the population at large. Okay. So I guess my point is that they're clearly keeping this information from us. It's either a quest to maintain control over a system, or it is a quest to keep information out of the population. Let's say, for example, let's speculate for a moment that there's a coming cataclysm. That craft and the size of that craft will hold a lot of people. Now, let's speculate further. Let's speculate that that craft is not extraterrestrial craft, and it's technology that is our own technology.
You're talking about the craft involved in the Phoenix Lights.
Over Phoenix.
Yeah, okay.
Huge.
Mm-hmm.
A huge craft would hold a number of people.
Yeah.
Who's going to make the decision if there is a coming cataclysm? We know that world cataclysm has occurred many, many times. There's archaeological evidence. You've had great shows that have discussed that in the past. I agree with that entirely. But let's just say that that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to make the decision? Who goes? Who gets off the planet during that event of cataclysm?
Well, it will be the people that own the huge craft.
Well, that's exactly right. And they don't want. And I think that they don't want us to know, the rest of us to know, that they have that technology.
Oh, I think you're right. I think you're right. The real problem, though, Mark, and see, that will always be the case. But the real problem comes when you have governments cooperating with that machinery. And that means those governments have been co-opted, they're corrupt, and actually have no moral right to exist. And, you know, thankfully, here in the United States, so long as, even though our Constitution is in shreds, but so long as we have pieces of the Constitution still operational, we have a way to have a revolution without guns. But, you know, the real question is, and people get so angry with me, Mark, when I say this, I will get hate mail again for days after saying this. You see, the real problem are the mushrooms, and they're in the majority. They keep electing the very people who are the have proven themselves to be, on the one hand, either inept or, on the other hand, absolute enemies of the Constitution. They keep electing them. Congress has a 12% approval rating, but if the elections were tomorrow, 95% would be returned to office. Mushrooms.
Again, and I'll get out of your way here, I don't think, I think that the government above the government could care less who we elect. And there's a controlling structure that, again, has the answers to these questions, and it, that information is not being disseminated down. And I don't think it's going to would matter who we elect or who we put into a governmental position. That those that information is not going to, they're not going to bring that information forward.
And it's, well, I agree with you, but at least you might not have people disappearing and people getting killed.
Well, that would be a good thing.
Yeah, we could improve our lot by simply using our brains before we vote. All right, thanks for the call. Very interesting. Francis, I don't know, you may disagree with everything I just said, but I want to give you the opportunity to rebut anything I said.
Well, actually, I agree with you. I don't call them mushrooms, I call them lemmings. And they just, you know, they follow it, they listen to some people and they go, oh, that's good, nice name, looks good. It's like, okay, but what do they stand for?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem.
Well, and the real question these days is, can they stand at all? You know, what you told us about the fellow council person that you invited to stay and talk with the press with you about the Phoenix Lights got up and said, I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole, and left. What a coward. You know, it's one thing to say, well, yeah, you know, it's just fear. It's another thing to say, but we elect people that we expect to face fear and make the right decisions. We all fear things. Look, I was a cop all of my career. If you think that cops never feel fear, you don't understand. I don't mean you, Francis. I'm talking to the audience. I know you know cops feel fear. When you're ordered to go into a situation where someone has a gun and they've been shooting it, and you know they pose a real danger to you, and you really might not go home alive, sure you feel fear. But you've been hired and trained to go face that situation and to get it under control. And fear cannot be a reason for inaction. Everyone feels fear. All our troops in Iraq and Afghanistan feel fear. But they can't be spineless. They have to face it and use their training and their wits and their skills to get through it. And that's what we expect of the people we elect as well. And that's one of the reasons, Francis, I have such a high regard for you, because you stood there and faced it, and you did what you were elected to do. And I have a high regard for that. We need more like you.
So, thank you. You have to know me to know that my motivation is I like answers, and I feel that everybody deserves to know the truth, what's out there, whatever it is. And I just have a hard time with people that don't want the answers.
Well, I do too, but I can stand people that don't want answers as long as they are not trying to keep me from getting answers. And unfortunately, there are people that in government, they don't want answers, and they don't want me or you to have the answers. And these are people that need to be fired.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. Listen, I want to thank you for being with us tonight, and we got through these incredible telephone difficulties. You may not know, but we're actually using three phone systems to have one telephone conversation.
That's crazy.
Is that crazy? But I didn't know you could do it, but this is a first for me, and we're doing it. But I thank you for being with me, and I hope that you will be back with us again in the future real soon.
Oh, I would love to. Thank you so much.
If you will, just stay on the phone line with me for a moment. There you go, folks. That's a wrap. Frances Emma Barwood, a stellar example of what someone who holds political office should be. And what a privilege to have her with us. My friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.